Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now a portion of the reading once more. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy them 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. You may be seated. People love to complain. That's something camp has taught me. I've worked at Cooperstown Bible Camp for 7 years. During that time, I've been on housekeeping, maintenance. I've even been on full-time staff. But most of my time has been spent working as a camp counselor. Over those years, though, I've noticed something. Camp collects people who love to complain. Now, I'm not just talking about the camp staff who work with children 24/7, but other people as well. Whenever there would be retreats, I'll be the one who would get up in the morning to fix the car, since I'll be the only person at camp to beat the sun. And after 15 minutes, others would start to wander in, and I would listen to them and to chat with them. We would talk about how work has been going. We would talk about weather, sports, movies, crack a few jokes even. But the conversation always ended up coming to one spot. Complaining. Complaining that life is not going the way you wanted it. Work has not been the best. Home is not fun. The rain. We need rain. Finally, someone pipes up and mentions, "At least we got Jesus." The disciples are the same way. They are human creatures just like you and me. And guess what? They complained, just like the people I listened to up at camp, or anyone who is not happy with their current situation. In our text, we encounter interaction recorded for us by Mark in his gospel. This interaction captures these moments that do not paint an overall good description of the disciples. Now, there are more descriptions of them throughout the gospel of Mark, where the disciples are not leaping with joy because Jesus had said something that did not make any sense whatsoever. In our case, it is concerning how they are going to feed 5,000 people. 5,000 people who came from all around the surrounding countryside to hear Jesus. Following the death of John the Baptist, the disciples, John's disciples were the ones who to bury him, but Jesus' disciples, who were finding out the news and teaching, and after all that, returned back to Christ. And now Jesus just told and said to them, "Come away to a desolate place, a place to find rest, a place to be away from people." But others followed. They left by boat, yet others followed. You can imagine that by this time, they are getting annoyed that people are always showing up wherever they go. And now they have to figure out how they're going to feed this great crowd. They approached Jesus and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." And they did not get the answer that they were hoping for. Jesus simply replies, "You give them something to eat." In other words, you'd feed them. And the disciples complain, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" The disciples, the closest friends of Jesus Christ during his 3 years of ministry, complained that they were told they had to feed the people. These men who listened to every word that came from his mouth, observed how he taught, how he interacted with others, even with those who were considered the untouchable. They had Jesus, but they didn't fully trust his words. For this reason, they complain. Still don't get it? You and I face the same problem today, complaining. Everyone loves to do it. It's as natural as breathing. It's complaining. Don't believe me? Think about this. Whenever you call up your friends and you want to go hang out with them, The conversation always starts in a certain order. Hey, how have you been doing lately? What has been something fun that you've been doing? But it always manages to fit in something that one person wants to complain about. And it never fails. Right now, this very moment, there is someone out there complaining about their current situation. But complaining is not the issue at hand for you and me. Complaining is merely a byproduct of a much larger problem. And that issue, that problem, is trust. It is a severe lack of trust in our God. It is a lack of trust because we are consumed by the world around us. We are consumed by fear that we of leaving our homes and going back out into the world because death is more imminent. COVID has made death a vivid reality for all of us. We see it on the news, in the paper, on our phones, and even have to listen to it on the radio. We are still being consumed by this fear because the economy has been affected. Prices of houses have skyrocketed. Lumber is no longer cheap. There are jobs that nobody wants to fill. Gas is higher than it has been in years. If that doesn't do it for you, listen to the farmers. We are in a severe drought this summer, and I can count on my hand how many times we've had rain up in Cooperstown. I've heard the farmers, and they too have become consumed because they are worried, that they will be lucky to pull anything out of the harvest this fall. We are being consumed by our own fear, our doubt, by our lack of trust in our God. It is dictating how we think, how we act, even how we talk to one another. Instead of looking to God for answers, for help, we just put him to the wayside and act like he doesn't exist. Or we just continue to complain about how awful the world has become until someone, if we are lucky, just mentions Jesus as Lord once more. Complaining shows our lack of trust. But there is hope. Just listen. Let us turn back to our text. Here's how I see it happening. Jesus told the disciples to feed the people. The disciples complain. How on earth can we feed this many people? 5,000? 5,000. I feel bad for them. These 12 men were just asked to feed 5,000 men. I can't imagine what went through their heads at that moment. The best I can understand is that moment when someone says something to you, but your brain shuts off and you come back to reality for just a second, you say, I'm sorry, can you repeat that? But Jesus does not leave them hanging out to dry. No. He proceeds to ask them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. They come back with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Complain that this is all we got. Still having this confused look on their faces. Still not trusting what Jesus had in mind. Yet Jesus does the most wonderful thing. He takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He breaks the food, and he kept breaking it and breaking it and breaking it, breaking off more and more and more. The food would not stop. There was so much food that everyone there was satisfied. Wait, that's not the point. Remember, I said complaining was a lack of trust. Don't miss the wonderful thing that Jesus did. He looked up to heaven and blessed the food. He didn't complain. He received what he had and gave thanks for it. He trusted the Father. He trusted that God the Father would bless what he has given. And he did. They were satisfied. Not just one person went home that day who was hungry. No, they were satisfied. And Mark makes this very clear. No one that day went home hungry, for they were filled by food given and broken for them by Christ. So much so, the disciples took 12 baskets and gathered up all the leftovers, enough for another meal. And this has happened before. During the time of the wilderness, when the Hebrews were out wandering the desert, God provided manna for them every single day. And after they complained, he sent them quail. Just in this case, loaves of bread and fish. Wow. Are you not amazed? I know this is a common story that we all have been told time and time again. But is this not amazing? To hear that Jesus Christ took care of every single human creature that was present that day. What does it mean to be cared for? For some, it means being moved, put into a nursing home. For it's the only place that your grandparents, or parents for that matter, are able to find the level of care that they truly need. Maybe it's being taken care of when you order your meal at McDonald's and someone in front of you pays for it without your knowledge. Because that happened to me just this past Christmas on the way to my mom's. To be taken care of means that you're not living in fear of where your next meal is coming, or when the next rainfall is coming, or when the next pandemic will strike out of nowhere. This is what it means to be taken care of, to be provided for. You and I have a God that does just that. He provides. Our God provides everything that we need. He did so by sending his Son to die in our stead, to pay the price we could never pay. Our God provided life, provided hope, provided a home. Our God provided far more than you and I will ever truly understand. In Jesus, he provides our everything that we will ever need. So there is no reason for this lack of trust in our God. He continually provides everything that we need, even if it's just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Even if there's no rain, we still have Jesus. Or when the world continues to become consumed with a pandemic, we still have Jesus. Or when there is nowhere else to turn to, we still have Jesus. As Christians, we stand on this side of the cross, the side of the promise having been fulfilled in Jesus, who is the Christ. We can look back at the Scriptures and ask ourselves questions of, why didn't the disciples understand this? Of course Jesus was going to feed them. If that is the case, why do we still complain? Why do we lack complete trust in our Lord, the creator of the universe, the creator of you and me, the one who took his own time for every single one of you, the one even whom David wrote about in Psalm 23, who makes his cup overflow and leads him beside still water? This is our God, the provider of all things. You trust him, have no complaints. Let's come back to the camp setting one more time. When that one person reminds those, the people who are complaining because their world was imploding, they remind them that Jesus is still Lord, that our trust is solely in the risen Lord, the one who provides everything we need, the one whom we turn to when the world is consumed by a pandemic, when our livelihood is on the brink of collapse, when there is no rain. The trust we have in Christ ends the complaints, for God already has and continues to supply our needs. We may not have everything that we want, but we still have Jesus. He is our everything. Amen.